very often, but you may be seated. I'm not going to preach my regular sermon today, but, you know, I kind of knew that earlier today, not because of the youth, but I really sense God was saying, you're not going to preach this full message. But I think there's some words of encouragement that God has given specifically to all of us, and just so a few brief scriptures today. But I really believe with all my heart that God does want to send us on mission, that He does want us to begin to take action for outreach. You know, one of the biggest ways that we do that is through our lifestyle and example at work. Like Christy has invited different people and at work, and if we all did that, we all are inviting and we are opening up to others to the gospel. But I was just thinking this morning in the prayer room and praying, and this verse came to mind out of Acts chapter 17. And when Paul is coming before the Areopagus in Athens, I don't think I pronounced that right, and he perceived that they were religious and that they were worshiping an unknown God and a God that's not served with human hands. And then he goes on and gives this thought and this testimony. In verse 24, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything." So he doesn't need us to be on mission. He doesn't need us to go and clothe the hungry and give food. He doesn't need that. But listen what he says next. He says, "Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods." So what year is it right now? 2019. You're living right now in 2019. "Having determined allotted periods and boundaries of your dwelling place." You have property lines. You live, some live in Hurricane, some live in Winfield, some live across the river, some live on all these specific areas. Why did God allow that? So that we would seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from us, because in Him we live and move and have our being. Even as some of your own poets have said, we are indeed His offspring. So being then God's offspring, we shouldn't think it's divine being like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and in the imagination of man, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He's fixed on a day which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead, Jesus Christ. So think about this, Christ Community Church. God has called you here. Even you that are young, Ava, God has brought you here for a reason, right? He's put us here for a specific purpose. And we all have different personalities, right? Thank God. We're not all the same. We're all different. And when God mixes a pot together, He doesn't just throw people in the pot. He just didn't throw people in this church. He brought you here for a specific reason, and He mixes the personalities together to reach certain people for the kingdom. God is determined so that all men and women will repent. And so we repent and we turn to the living God, but we use our personalities. God uses our time periods, the neighborhood that you live in, where God is sending you and put you to live. It is for a reason, so that we would reach out and call for God and share the gospel. So this mission trip, yeah, we planned it. We didn't know who God was going to send you to. You had specific personalities there that made your group awesome, and God used you to reach out to people. And so why can't we as a church start to pray? We talked about hill parties. I mentioned it for 3 or 4 years in a row. You know, just let it sink in a little bit, because we've got to simmer. But does it take our youth to say, we need to do something. In these hill parties, we talked about looking where God is working in our specific neighborhoods that we live in. Like Bruce lives down the corner. The O'Briens and Christy Warner and Fosters live in a little neighborhood. Why not go out and invite, go door to door to every house, set up our bounce tents, have food, and invite those people just to come and hang out with us in the neighborhood? Why not try something like that? Even if we have to plan for a few months, it's not something we just haphazardly do. When we go on mission, we plan it specifically and put all the things together. But God has called each of you together for a reason. I mean, look around at all these good-looking, some funny-looking people. I didn't point fingers, Sandy. You're mixed together for a reason. You're in a neighborhood for a reason. And I want to leave with this challenge in this passage. Now, if you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take for us to be on mission. And you know that the people that got baptized and saved last year in our church, even though we're a small church, was as a result of certain people being placed at certain places at certain times. Some God just sent here. Others through witness of people that invited people to church. But think what God has more for us this coming fall and coming year. Now, listen carefully. This is what happened. Paul says, I'm free from all. In Christ we have freedom. We can do whatever we want, right? As far as whether we go into ministry and reach out to people or we can sit dormant. But yet God has called us to obey Him. And so He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But He says, you know, I'm free from all. I don't have an obligation to these people. I have made myself a servant to all. And as the kids learned and demonstrated on their trip, some of these tasks were not fun. It was digging food, from what I understand, out of pockets. But it was for a specific purpose, to clothe people that didn't have very much clothes or they needed help. We don't just give a dirty coat to somebody. We serve. We clean it up first before we give it. We don't just go through our drawers and find something that's ripped, that's no longer good, and then we say, oh, I'm going to don't give that to people. We serve. And Saul, he says, and here's the reason that we might win some. Each and every one of you have been given a task to win. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. Like, for instance, I always said, there's some churches around here that only preach out of the King James Bible. They have legalistic laws, but if God sends me there, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible. Because I will still share the gospel with them and get around an obstacle that's in the way. Paul says, I'm willing to give it up, give everything up to reach my culture for Jesus. And I want to challenge you, what is an obstacle maybe in your life that's keeping you from connecting with certain people in your neighborhood? He says, Paul says, I'm willing to give it all up that I might win some. He says, to those outside the law, I become as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. He's specific there. Doesn't mean we live disobedient to God. He says, I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may attain it. Christ Community Church, this is a call from God that came through our youth and what we've been talking about for several years. You're in a race. It's time to run. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we do something to receive something that's going to last, imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I see this picture. You know, and a lot of times as people in the church, we end up doing this. We end up just going around and, oh, there's this mission over here, there's this over here, and oh, we just need to do that. And pretty soon we're spread so thin. But he says, I discipline my body. But he also has the aspect of how we live our lives too. He says, I don't want to be disqualified, so I discipline my body. So I preach, and then I don't live what I preach. I don't make sure that I live what I preach. But he says, don't just do it. And so here's my challenge, and I think God's challenge to me and all of us here. It's time to put the aimless boxing down. Come to prayer on Sunday morning or gather together in prayer on other nights and seek the Lord. God, how do you want us to do this? Because it takes planning, it takes time, it takes work. We can't just say, okay, we're going to just go give food to the poor or people that might have need, and then it's not planned and we say, nobody showed up. Or this didn't work. We have to hear from God. What neighborhood does God want us to focus on? We have to hear together. And I think that's the next part of what God has called us to as a church body. And so what are you willing to do? Are you willing to become a servant? You most definitely can't be effective in ministry unless you're willing to serve. Unless you're willing to dig into dirty pockets. And even be willing to change diapers. Threw one in for myself. For those of you that don't know, a long time ago, obviously we don't have any children yet, but I did trick Tanya into a deal that I'll do these things and you change the diapers. And she was quickly tainted by other women in the church. But even willing to do that. Sometimes we want to be maybe up front. We want to be on the worship team, or we want to preach, or we want to do these things. But it starts with a heart of being a servant, of moving a chair, helping somebody out at their home. Being a servant. Paul says, I'm giving up my freedom so that I might win some. And I just pray that God would give you and I a passion to come together and pray and say, God, what do you want Christ Community Church to do this fall, next spring, next summer, that we can begin to plan and pray and strategically put together so that we might win some? Are you willing to go above and beyond to reach others with the gospel? And I know several of you are prepared to do that with the camp that's coming up, and you've already put a lot of time and you're putting a lot of energy and effort into that. But we remember we're doing all these things, even the decorations and all this stuff, so that we might win some. So that we might get a chance to talk to a parent that might walk in. And I know we'll have a lot of kids from other churches and things like that, but what if they're not hearing the gospel in their church? What if they bring a friend of theirs that doesn't even go to church? Paul says, I become all things to all men. And so I want to challenge you today. First of all, remember your personality. You are needed here. You are so important here. That's why God put you here. He mixed you together for such a time as this in 2019 so that some people will come to Christ. He works through his people. He's given us a divine call to preach the gospel and not hoard it for ourselves, but to dispense of it freely. So I hope that this encourages you today. I was just struck with that in prayer, and then when the youth shared and carried that on. I mean, I can't even put into words how awesome that is. I mean, Gordon, Steve, I mean, Tanya, Sam. This little one here. All because when we mix together, we can become unified to share Christ with one mouth and with one message. Two specific people. The church down the road is reaching other people. God has mixed us together to meet needs for specific people. And there probably can never be enough churches and enough people reaching out, right? Amen. Does anybody have anything to share to that and add to that before we go today? Yeah.
Night, I said, I know they were praying. It, what happened couldn't have happened without praying. And then I talked to someone later, and they were like, oh, I said, we need to pray for this. And it was exactly what we needed. And Rob and Courtney, some of you guys know we homeschool, but they invest in our kids more than just here. All three of them, even though they help me with the homeschool once a week, and they eat my food. No matter what, they don't complain about my food. But I'm just thankful there's more things than that's happened than that. Like right now, Sam is with Nat and Christy, and I'm just so thankful that you guys are willing to pray for us and help us and encourage us when we need it.
I'm trying not to make this the show, I promise. When we came here 4 years ago, one of the first conversations I had with Pastor Mike is that we came from a loving church. We came with a church that had really good roots and really good people and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of love. But the one thing that tied us all together was community. And one of the first conversations I've had with you, and I've held on to it for 4 years, is community. And what our kids experienced on that mission trip was just that. They experienced real, live, God-driven, God-inspired community. They went someplace, they did something for some people that they didn't know, they got dirty, and they smiled about it. And then they came back and they told us about it. And then today is the fruit of what's going to come from that. I wasn't always this way when I went to church. I thought mission trips were just exactly what, you know, Rob and Courtney were saying, is that, you know, you go, you do something important, and then people remember you. Our kids are never going to be remembered. They're never, ever going to say, those people that came and washed my coat, well, that we think in terms of. Somebody might. Guys, and I'm going to get on my soapbox. You told me last week just to keep talking. What we need in this building is called community. How we achieve it is we get together. How we get together is we love one another unconditionally. We look past every fault that every one of us have, and we all got them. I'm not just going to stand up here and say it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it every week. I'm going to do it every time I'm in the door. I'm going to do it every time that I see you on the street. Because this valley needs Jesus in a way that I can't even begin to describe. And we all know that. But it's all got to come from these people in these chairs in this building.
Just very simply, if you show up, God will use you.
I was telling y'all last week about information on my knee replacement, and I went to the doctor on Thursday, and he did blood work and everything, and he said, I'll call you on Monday with results. And I didn't get a phone call Monday. I didn't get one Tuesday. By Wednesday, I was thinking, oh, no. And by Thursday, I called him back, and he hadn't called me because Well, first of all, he said Thursday, if my blood work was okay, he'd release me for surgery at month end. So he changed his mind, and he wasn't releasing me until December. Needless to say, I was a little upset. I cried. I told them that I'd rather die on the table and at least try. And if that didn't work, I would just go ahead and amputate my leg, because then they'd have to have somebody come in. But instead, I just prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed so hard. And I know a lot of people in here did too. And when they called me back, they went ahead and released me. So I'll be planning the surgery next week for the end of August. So I just wanted to say, prayer works, and don't ever think it doesn't. Amen. And I think you did cool, man.
The one thing I want to say is, as Mike said, we all have different personalities, and we all bring important things to the table for furthering the gospel. And sometimes I feel like people are afraid to take things on themselves. You know, they see certain people in the church that seem to be heading things up all the time, and they'll bring their things to them. Sometimes God wants you, like when you have an idea, God wants you to be the one to follow through on it. And it's great to bring ideas to other people if you need, if you want to talk through it, if you need, maybe it's something that's outside of your comfort zone and you're not sure about the logistics or something like that. But I think that we need to be confident in what God has placed in our hearts, and realize that it's not, when God gives us something, it's not something to pass off to someone else. It's not something to pass off to Tanya because we see her leading the precept study. It's not off on us to pass off to Mike because he's, you know, the pastor, or Christy because she's the worship leader. You know, God has placed it in your heart, so there's a pretty high chance that you're the one who's supposed to see it through. And so I just encourage you, if God does place something in your heart for mission, and it might be something that is completely outside of your comfort zone. I can tell you right now, this trip that we did, you know, that Courtney said, we got to do this. This was completely outside of my comfort zone. And even though, I promoted and got them to come, like I had to sell it to myself first. And now I get to see, you know, how the results of that. So it might be really difficult. It might, it might stretch you. My organization skills are not very good, and this stretched my organization skills. And Dad, just want to give a shout out to Norma and Brian here, because they had to deal with my terrible financial organization skills and walk me through everything. But like I said, if God places something in your heart, even if it seems like you're not equipped to do it, you are. Because we've been going through Esther with the kids, talking about exactly what Mike said, such a time as this. God has equipped you whether you realize it or not. So if he puts something in your heart, you know, come to Mike, come to the worship, the leadership team, and tell them your idea, and tell them how you are going to see it through, how you're going to plan it, how you're going to spearhead it and make this happen so that we can further God's kingdom.
Amen. And remember, too, just because someone else is doing something that maybe God is calling you to do, people need breaks, and there are times and seasons as well for every ministry.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say we are so blessed to have you, both of you, for that what you do and how you love on our kids and how you pour out your heart on them. And you can see it. You can see it in their eyes when they see you, and they see God through you. And that's pretty amazing. But I want to, again, thank this church for your prayers for my family. I was fishing with my next door neighbor, and it was a nice time to just get away. And he said, I don't know how you do it. I do it because of you all. Because I know you lift my family up in prayers. I know that. The only way I have the strength to go out there and work and then go and work again is with you all's help. And I share that with anybody that I mean, that's the first words out of my mouth. But I need to include you all, because without you, without your prayers, I wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. You bless our family more than you can ever know. And even like I say, when they get, and I know they can be, they can try your patience sometimes. Steve, I love you for that. When you and I share that, I know, with sometimes with Ava and Aiklin, when they just want to just snatch them up. But that's, I know your heart. I know that you do it because you love them. You want them to do right. And that means more to me than you'll ever know, to be able to have that kind of heart for them and to care about them. And I love you.
In everything that I've been hearing you all say, I've had two pictures out of the scripture bouncing around in my head. And one of them is the Apostle Paul tells us that we're a body made up of a bunch of different parts. And that, you know, the eye can't say, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not any good. I'm just going to, you know, go off and take my ball and go home and I'm not useful for anything. That's ridiculous. We need our eyes just as much as we need our hands or our feet. And the other picture is Abraham, when he's talking to God in the burning bush, and he says, but yes, Moses, thank you. Picture's right, guy's wrong, whatever. Moses at the burning bush, and he says, and the Lord tells him to go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. He's like, excuse me, God, I think you got the wrong guy. I don't do public speaking. I'm scared of people. I've got all this baggage that maybe you don't remember about. I killed an Egyptian. I grew up in his house, and then I'm running for my life here. You're not really asking me to go do that, are you? Right? And God's like, wait, yeah. I'm the God that knows everything. That put that. I'm asking you to do this for me, like to what you were saying, Rob. That's a real scriptural example of God asked Moses to do something that he was really not comfortable with doing. And so then God said, well, take your brother Aaron. He can speak. You know, that support system around you, that body that you're a part of, will come alongside you to cover your shortcomings. That's, again, the way God has built this church thing to work. Again, if there is something that's on your heart to do, it's for a reason. And God doesn't call the ones who are equipped. He equips the ones who are called.
I've been longing to say this. The church service went long today because your sermons went over. I love you all, and I, with us a challenge. This week, begin to pray, but also be prepared to go through a process of humility and refinement. Because when Paul says all things to all men, it's easy to say, but it's another thing to do. And it requires brokenness and humility before God. Done with self. God is everything. He gave his everything for us, so we give our all to him because he first loved us. And that's what the gospel is all about. So I will keep challenging. And I don't want us to forget about this, because every week somebody should bring up, remind us, are we praying? Are we seeking God as a body? Are we seeking to be used? What does God want us to do outside these walls? We can't sit here and hold this rich treasure for ourselves. And so we got to spread it around. So, Father, I pray that you bless each person that's here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you've answered our prayers. Even in the prayer room, we invited you to change things and move pieces around as you will. Thank you for speaking through your body. And Lord, I ask for a heaviness of your Holy Spirit to be on every single one of us, a conviction, a burden for the lost. God, that will drive us into prayer, into planning for outreach in this community. Lord, take us and use us as you will. We invite you to begin your cleaning and refining process in each of our lives, Lord, so that we can be broken and spilled like Paul was, like treasure in broken vessels, it says, as he gives that picture, that your treasure would spill out of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.